Tuesday, Thursday, I love. Even on a weekend, I love
to pray.
Walking through a valley,
I love.
Especially on a mountain,
I love to praise
His holy name.
Amen, 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 and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? A little chilly, huh? Yeah, God is good. It's good. This cold weather is good. Yeah, get the bugs out. Yes, yes. If you are visiting with us, you are truly our honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our worship service. Just good to be here. Good to be a child of God. Good to be a Christian. Now, we've selected as a theme this year, we've identified a theme out of the scriptures, making disciples, making a difference. Making disciples, making a difference. And that was our lesson on this past Sunday. And I'm diving right into my lesson this morning. If you're watching by way of television, we hope and pray that you stay with us for the next 30 minutes that we can speak through the word of God and hopefully speak to you this morning. If you have a question, if you need to talk to somebody, somebody to pray for you, we'd be glad to do that, more than happy to do that. I've entitled the lesson this morning, How Does One Become a Disciple of Jesus Christ? How does one? It is a fundamental, foundational lesson that every person in the world needs to hear. And many, I know we are in a biased audience this morning. Many of you are disciples. Not all of us. Many, some may be in a searching mode. And we'll talk about that a little bit more a little later on. But if there was just one lesson that I could give to the entire world, this would be it. I know you might want to hear about, Brother Gary, we need a lesson on how to raise children. We probably do. How to have a better marriage, I'm sure we do. How to operate on my job, or how to deal with these crazy people I'm dealing with when I leave out of here. I know we probably need a lesson on that, but not before this lesson. And I hope that every person is interested. Hopefully you will know it even better. Because the word disciple means a learner. And last week, our text was 2 Corinthians. Everybody's all right?
All right.
I don't want to sing this morning because I want to keep my voice, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 was our main scriptural text. And we highlighted it because this is the beginning of the year. We want our church to be a sound, biblical, based on God. We don't want just to be a social club. You got enough churches that just have stuff for people. And we forget our identity and why God really put us here. And we don't want to be wasting our time. And we want to make sure that we're pleasing with God. And we want to identify and make sure our church knows our primary purpose. And I want to read. I want to try to go through this. 2 Corinthians 5:18 was our main text last week. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled. We remember the definition of the word reconciled, returned into favor with. And see, we out of favor. Many of us were out of favor. Somebody in here right now may be out of favor with God. It says, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, the beginning of the letter is the saints, or the disciples, the collectively, the church, the assembly. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is the ministry of returning people back to the favor of God. It says, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Jesus has already done his part. He's not going to come back here and do it again. When he come back next time, it's going to be to take care of a whole lot of good business. The Bible says, the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us, the disciples, the word of reconciliation. That was our message last week. Notice this. If you're outside of Christ, the Bible says in Romans 5:10, for if we were enemies, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. When you're outside of Christ, you're really the enemy of God. And that's what happens when you're outside of the right relationship. And what happens is we sin. And sin means that we fall short of God's word. We transgress against his word. And we don't have a way of getting it back right. We have a way, or we reject the way to get it back right. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The primary purpose of the church is to assemble. We worship God, but it is for us to go out into the world and try to reconcile people back in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And we do that better collectively God's way than we do it individually by ourselves. And so, well, Bergeria, how does one become a disciple? How does one become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Let's go to the Word of God, because see, disciples are made. They're not born. See, you don't just born and all of a sudden you of age and now you are. Well, I'm a disciple. No, you have to be made a disciple. Listen to the Word of God in Matthew 28:18. Go therefore and make disciples. God, this is the last word Jesus told to his apostles on this earth. He says, listen, when I leave here, I want you to go out into the world and I want you to make disciples. What are disciples? They're lifelong learners. God wants to make us lifelong learners of Jesus Christ. And so that means we always going to have some growing to do. Well, Gabriel, I'm already a disciple, so you still got some growing to do. Yeah, you haven't grown up. Notice this, you haven't grown up and you don't know everything. Amen. There's some things you think you know right now. You haven't studied enough to really know what God wants us to do. That's why we got to keep learning. That's why you got to keep coming to the worship service, to the assemblies, and to Bible class, because you haven't ever arrived on this side. Notice, go to all of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And today we're focusing simply on how one becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so those of us in the church, we need to hear this. Because see, we sometimes try to teach two people too much, to trying to lead them to Christ. We're trying to tell them the whole Bible. First of all, they need to become a disciple first. And there was a sound biblical scriptural way for us to do that without overwhelming folk and trying to act like they need to know everything in the Bible to become a disciple. Listen to Acts 14:21. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. It says Paul and Silas, they preached the gospel. See, before you become a disciple, something you got to hear something. And they preached. Here they preached the gospel. Listen to Mark 16:15. And he said to them, similar to Acts, to Matthew 28:18 in the gospel text of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned. See, before somebody become a disciple, they got to hear something. And it is the preached or taught word. No, he says, go ye and teach. Preach is the proclamation, the proclaiming, teaching, learning. Someone sitting at someone else's feet to learn. So can't nobody be a disciple unless they humble themselves enough to listen to somebody else. Amen. And God has made it so in the New Testament that person has to be a man or woman of God who teaches out of the word of God. We're talking about how to become a disciple. Listen now. Notice this. He says, go into the world and preach the gospel. Well, see, they're not just preaching and teaching anything. It's the gospel. The gospel. Notice it says, not a gospel, the gospel. Notice this. In order for anybody to become a disciple of Christ, there's only one gospel that's going to get them there. That's what the Bible says. He says, the gospel. The gospel, the word good communication, in English translation, good communication, good news. good news, and it's showing off good news. It's the best news.
Amen.
It's the best news because, and sometimes people, we don't realize that it's the best news because we're so focused on our other issues and our, well, Gary, I need some money. You need the gospel. Because fear not him who's able to kill the body and is unable to touch this soul. You fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul. The scriptures say in hell. Yeah. There are a whole lot of things. I just lost my boyfriend. That ain't going to kill your soul. Amen, somebody. Yeah. This deal I tried to work out, it didn't work out. It didn't finance it. Get over it. Go move on. Something. Go. There's another day ahead. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16. For it is the power of God. See, the gospel is our number one tool. It's our number one offensive weapon that we use to bring somebody. See, they preach the gospel, and it is good news. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone, the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Everybody in the world, the gospel is God's power to save the world. Yeah. We can't forget that. And we get fancy if we want to, but we better not get away from that gospel. And the fundamental facts of the gospel. This is foundational. But I want you to remember all of these passages. I have these notes. If you want the notes, that's fine. We'll put it online. But this is foundational. And I hope every person, up if you're listening right now, that you will pay close attention to these scriptures because they are what leads us to become a disciple. See, the gospel, the fundamental facts of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel. Paul said that when he was taught, wrote this letter to the Corinthian church. I make known to you the gospel, the good news, this good message, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand. Now, they're already disciples. And he's writing this letter. He said, I'm just reminding you again, it's this, don't forget about this gospel that I preached to you in order that you became a disciple, which also you received, by which you stand, by which also you are saved, he says. You are saved if you hold fast the word which I preach to you. That's why we need to hold fast. We need to stay in the book. We need to stay with God's word and nothing else.
Amen.
Because we can lose our salvation if we don't stay with this gospel.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first importance what I also received. Here are the facts: that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures.
Amen.
Notice this, if you're in a Bible class and if you skip all of this part trying to get somebody so-called to become a disciple, you messed up. I know those of us in the Lord's eye, we're trying to get them in the church of Christ, but you better let them know about Christ because it was Christ who died for the church.
Amen.
We're trying to biblically to teach someone, see, a simple, unwavering faith in the foundation facts of the gospel and adherence to the first principles of God's word is enough to make a person a disciple of Christ. Understanding the simple foundational facts that Christ died, he came, he died, he was buried, he rose again on the third day, and the first principles of the Bible are enough to make somebody a disciple of God's word. Let me read a few more scriptures for you to really understand this. Because, see, sometimes we try to do too much. Hebrews 5:12. For though at this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. There are some elementary principles that we need to teach before we start teaching somebody deeper things in the Bible. And you can't skip them. Yeah, you can't skip them. You know, you're trying to feed folk everything. Well, brother, I noticed I'm visiting the Church of Christ, and I noticed that y'all take the Lord's Supper every first day of the year. You take it every Sunday. I've been coming in through. You take it every Sunday. Yes, we do. Amen. Yes, we do. But listen, if I'm in a Bible class with somebody, that's not the first thing that I'm going to bring up. Amen, somebody. You know, I noticed in the Church of Christ, y'all don't have instruments of music. So notice this. That wasn't an issue in the first century. The issue in the first century was trying to get them to believe that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. Yeah, they wasn't arguing folk about what do you have instrument. Now we can teach about that as we grow in the Lord. We can show you in scriptures why we partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. I'm not finna get in nobody with an argument. Why I'm in a Bible class and they don't call me Reverend in the Lord's Church. They're gonna learn that. They're gonna learn what the scripture teaches about all of these gospel facts. Amen. But I'm trying to get them to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you're trying to give them all this information, and sometimes we're trying to do too much. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. And sometimes it depends on who we're teaching and their background and where they come from and what they know. But some of us, this is why we don't talk to people about the Lord and the Lord's church, because we think we got to know everything in the Bible. Amen. Now, but understand this. And this is why the gospel message has to be reinforced. It has to be restated. It has to be repeated. It has to be re-preached. Because Paul recognized, even in his day, listen to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ. He says that now these are already disciples. How do you know that, Brother Gary? Some of this you have to read on your own. Go to the first part of the letter. This is Galatians 1:6. The first part of the letter, you say it's to the church. First, Second Corinthians, First Corinthians to the church. We know they're disciples, but he says, I marvel that you're deserting or you're so soon removed and you're called by the grace of God for a different gospel. That's why I said now we have to preach the gospel. And it is distinctive. And see, he says, for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. And then he says, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we preach to you, he is to be accursed. That's what the Bible says. That's why this is serious business. It does matter what you're teaching somebody, how they become in Christ, how they become a disciple. Because if they've heard the wrong gospel, they are not a disciple of Jesus Christ, amen, according to the scriptures. That's why this is a technical lesson. That's why we do need to stay with the book, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen somebody.
Amen.
And So, all of the conversion examples that we have are found, the examples that we have in the New Testament. Remember, the kingdom of God, the church of God, was not officially established until Jesus died and resurrected from the grave and he left his place. And so we have the Old Testament doctrine. We have the Gospels during Jesus' time as he transitioned. And he says, you've heard that it's been said of old, but I say that the laws started to change. And he was getting people ready for this New Testament worship, this new covenant and the church. And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the gospel books of the New Testament. Jesus is teaching his life and all of his teaching. But all of the conversion examples that we have, in other words, individuals who were baptized into Jesus Christ, individuals who were made this, all the examples are in the book of Acts. All the conversion, I wish I had time to go over them all, at least 13 examples of individuals who are led to Christ. The remainder of the New Testament books, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, Jude, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter, Hebrews, Revelation. All of the remaining of the books are written to either Jew Christians or either Gentile Christians or either both Christians. They're all written to those who've named the name of Christ and who've been baptized into Jesus Christ. And so we have all of these examples. So if you really want to know how one becomes a disciple, you need to look in the book of Acts at all these examples that the Bible gives us. And it's a great way to know what God, how God wants us to, first of all, become a disciple. Because you can't reconcile nobody else back to God until you first become a disciple. Notice, the way God has intended us, by obeying the gospel, the only way we become a disciple. And I wanted to go over all of these convergent examples. I can't do them all, so I just selected a few. Is that all right? The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 22, one we're very familiar with, many of you in the Church of Christ. We have to cover this one because it was the first time the gospel was preached to a group of individuals, and Peter and the rest of the apostles. And Jesus told them to go and wait for the Holy Spirit. You'll be endued with power on this day of Pentecost. And I'm going to read Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. And listen to this. Great example. If you want to know what God would have you to do, men of Israel, listen to these words. There it is again. Remember, he says, preach the gospel. Listen to these words. And I know we got smart folks and people who read a lot of books. And you read the books if you want to. You read the books if you want to, but you make sure you read the word of God. And I know God speaks to us through that, but you have to listen to somebody. Yeah, and he says, listen to these words, Jesus of Nazareth. And he starts preaching the gospel. A man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. Now you read the rest of that and you'll see that he preached the fact that Jesus came. He lived. He died, just as we covered in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through verse 4. He came, he lived, he died, and he rose again. And then he would go on to say, and he's made that same Jesus, both Lord. Now, that's the fundamental facts of the gospel. And then drop down to verse 37, Acts 2:37. The scripture would say, now when they heard this, I hope somebody in here who's searching for God, who's looking for God, that you want some clarity on what God would have me to do. Now when they heard this, notice this, what did they hear? They heard the gospel. What did they hear? The good news. They heard the fundamental facts that Jesus came, he lived, he died. Those are the foundational facts. There are a lot of people who reject Jesus. If a person rejects Jesus, they cannot be a disciple. Amen. Notice this. We love all people. We want to get along with all people. But you cannot replace this with anything else. Amen. Muhammad may have been a good man, but he's not Jesus. Amen. You might study him, you might admire him, you might admire the Hindu religion and all the things that they are about, but that won't save you. Amen. According to the word of God. Amen. And you can't miss this. And you can't skip this. And he says, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. They, you know, some people, even us, you know, we've heard the story about Jesus so many times. We hear it now. Okay, there you go. Go on, finish. Go on, sing the invitation song so we can sit down. Do you realize what happened? Does it still pierce your heart to know that an innocent man died for? Yeah. We see he died for the whole world. He did more than that. He died for me. He died for you. How many of you recognize that we're not worthy? Yes, you recognize how filthy, how sinful we are? Yes, and the Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ keeps cleansing us of all of our. You better recognize. Amen. You better be grateful when we were taking the Lord's Supper and we commemorate his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You better get quiet and stop paying your bills and stop, get off the telephone and start thinking about what Jesus did for you. Amen. And this message, see, when these individuals that first heard this message, many of them were even there when Jesus was crucified. And the Bible said it pierced their hearts. Amen. To know, what did we do? And they had a response, as some of us kind of take it for granted, but somebody that's searching, somebody that's looking, somebody that want a better relationship, that want a better way, somebody that want to feel cleansed inside, they're listening to this, say, Lord, have mercy, I didn't know what I was doing.
Amen.
And that's what the gospel does to you. It should cut your heart.
Amen.
Said it pierced their hearts.
Right.
And listen, notice this. Now, pay close attention to this. So they heard something. And he says, brethren, what shall we do? This is a distinction. This is a distinction in the gospel message that you hear on television, that you hear out in the world, that some people teach. I'm not knocking anybody else because we all have to make our own decisions. But I just, for anybody that wants to know how you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, just go to the Bible. And distinguish the difference, because don't say, well, it don't matter, because it does matter. They ask the question. Now, there will be some who say, well, you know, if it cut their heart, if it pierced their heart, that means they believe. So they already say. There will be some that say, all you have to do is believe and you're saved. Well, they haven't been reading their Bible, because they ask the question. This is the first time the gospel will preach. They ask, men and brethren, what shall we do?
Amen.
God has done his part.
Amen.
Jesus has done his part. But there is something that all of us who become disciples must absolutely do.
Amen.
And Peter told them, he said, repent, each of you, and be baptized. And so we see this, we see these the steps. We see they heard the word of God. It cut their heart. They believed with all of their heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, but notice this, and be baptized. And they've already made a vocal confession. Why are you saying that, brother? Because they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? We believe, we pierce, we know it's the truth.
Amen.
All of it's right here in this passage. If you just want to absolutely know what you must do, you can find it all. This is the text that you can find all of it.
Amen.
He said, be baptized. And you know, it's not hard to understand, because he said, every one of you.
Amen.
Everybody.
Amen.
Everybody do the same thing. Why do we have all of these different versions? You have people sometimes, you come on, you watching television, they'll say, well, where you are, let me pray for you right now. And they want to pray you into being a disciple. And but well, it shouldn't matter. They believe, well, it wouldn't matter if you were doing the writing. It wouldn't matter. God sent his only begotten son. Don't he have the right to tell us how he wants us to become a disciple?
Yeah.
And none of us died on the cross for our sins.
Right.
Now, that's one case. That's one case. He said, now, and then the brother read in you here in verse 39, for the promises are to you. He said, well, that's for those people back in that day, in that culture. For the promises unto you, all you Jews that are listening, and your children, and for he came and got us, and for all who are far off.
Amen.
And as many as the Lord God will call to him, anybody that wants to can be a disciple. I love that about God. I love that about God. You know how we are. I love that about God. Some of us, we try not to be prejudiced, but we still prejudice. We still have our stereotype. Well, you know, some people that look a certain way, certain color, well, I don't know about it. Thank the Lord that you're not like that.
Amen.
The Samaritan. We have another act, the Samaritan. I'm going to stop at the proper time at 9 o'clock. I'm going to stop. That was the Pentecost. That's Pentecost. The Samaritans. Again, go to Acts 8:5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria. These are the half-breeds. God got them all covered. Everybody. Yeah, he goes to every neighborhood and began proclaiming the Christ. That's the preaching the gospel. That's the same procedure. He preached Christ. Now drop down to verse 12, Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news, there's the gospel. Notice, about the kingdom of God and the name. Now this is why you understand the understanding is God. Now I made a statement earlier that we don't want to overwhelm folk with all the things that we in the Bible to become a disciple. But the gospel message includes more than just the foundational facts that Jesus came, he lived, he died on the cross for our sin, and he resurrected.
All right.
The gospel message includes. See, you have to tell people what they are. They are baptized into Jesus Christ, but Jesus came and he died on the cross. The Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Notice. And is the Savior of the body. So Christ died on. So when you're talking to folk, you got to tell them, yes, you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he lived, came, he lived, he died, he resurrected. But you can't go on your merry way and say, well, I'm saved now. That's all I got to do, because you have to know about Christ church.
Amen.
You got to know about it. And you have to teach the person, when you become baptized, you become a part of Christ's body. Amen. Now, you're not the whole body. You don't run the whole show. Like on our body, we have all of these parts on our body. And you become a leg. You become a toe. You become an eye. How do you know what part you become? It depends on what talent and what gift you bring to the body. But we all are part of the body of Christ. And see, when you talk about the kingdom of God, see, if I went to 1 Corinthians, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Chapter 12, the Bible says, for by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. He says, there's one spirit. And so make no bones about it. We don't apologize. This is distinctive, definitely, about churches of Christ. About most churches of Christ, is that we teach that when you're baptized, when you obey the gospel, you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into his church. And the Bible says there's only one body, which is the church, Ephesians 1:18, Colossians 1:18, Ephesians 1:22 and 23. There is only one. And I know we can argue all day about which one it is, but at least agree, if you're going to become a disciple, that God recognizes only one body. Amen. Isn't that in your Bible? Amen. And don't you want to be a part of that kingdom? So they preach the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. And so that happened in Samaria. And listen to what the Bible says. And they were baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself, after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. I don't even want to get into a long argument about some people say, well, you don't have to be baptized. What you been reading?
Amen.
Who you been talking to? Why are you resisting baptism? And Jesus says, go ye therefore and baptize them. Well, it's not necessary. By your account. Now these are the actual conversion accounts in the Bible. All of them are found in the book of Acts. Now don't get too technical, because no one verse in the Bible, there is no one verse that contains everything a person must do to become a disciple. Not one verse. Even as I read Acts 2, you know, you have to read the whole letter. It's like a God's letter. So read it all and put it all together. Don't be biased and start snatching one thing, because you can do that all with all of the Bible. Because Acts 2, verse 37 through 39 didn't actually say you have to confess. But you see the example that they did say something with their mouth. But if you went to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9, Romans 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Now, if you took that verse by itself, then all you would think that all you have to do is to say that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and now I'm saved. If you took that verse all by yourself, by itself. But that's not how you study the Bible. That's not how you study anything. That's not how you learn. You read the whole book.
Amen.
Yeah, to find out what God would have us to do in order to be saved, in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, in order to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then verse 10, for with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Now, let me give another example before I sit down. The eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Some of you know this, some of you may not be as familiar with it. I wish I had time to explain. This man was coming from worship. He was coming from worshiping God. He was a religious man. I said, Brother Gary, I know a lot of religious folk. Well, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about those who are disciples, those who've obeyed the gospel according to the scripture. This man was religious. He was reading the Bible, if you will. And the scripture would say about him in Acts 8, verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth. That's that hearing. That's the preached word. Everybody the same thing. He opened his mouth and he began from this scripture. Notice, and he preached Jesus to him. He taught. He's teaching and preaching. You can't miss this part. The same for everybody. He opened the scriptures and he preached Jesus. Now, he wasn't just saying Jesus, 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 Jesus. He preached the gospel. He taught him the gospel. He taught him about the kingdom of God. He taught him about Jesus Christ. He taught him about the fundamental facts that Jesus came. He lived. He died on the cross for his sin. And how do you know he did all that? Let's continue reading. As they went along the road, they came to some water. He taught him about baptism. That's a part of the gospel teaching. He taught him about baptism. And he says, and the eunuch said, look, water, what's preventing me from being baptized? And Philip said, notice this, and Philip said, if you believe. Now, so we said, you got to hear God's word. He preached to him. You got to believe it with all of your heart. Yes, you do. You must confess. You must confess with your mouth. What do you mean confess? He said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, and he answered and said, he said with his mouth. Here's the confession. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
You want to make absolutely sure you are getting right. And he ordered this, and he ordered the chariot to stop. Philip did, and they both went down into the water. Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And this man became a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is not that hard. No, well, Brother Gary, I got baptized, but I didn't do it right away. I did it 3 months later, but I know I was saved when I believed. No, you were not, according to the scripture.
Amen.
What do you mean? What do we mean I was not? Because you hadn't obeyed the gospel till you complete your obedience through the watery grave of baptism.
Amen.
Let me read a couple of more scriptures. It says in Acts 2:41, this is on the day of Pentecost, the same people that Peter preached to in Acts 2 in Pentecost. It says in verse 41, so then those who had received the word were baptized. Notice, and that day they were added 3,000 souls. Why were they baptized that day? Because they understood, in order to be a disciple of Christ, I had to complete my obedience to God by being baptized right then. Because there are some who teach that baptism is not necessary. It's an outward sign of inward grace, they may say. Well, it's just, it's something we do to let everybody else know. No, it's something to do that we obey God. Hebrews 5:9, for he's the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. It takes humility to obey, doesn't it? God wants us to be humble. That same day they were baptized. Listen to Acts 16:33. This is the jailer. I don't have time to read the whole account. This is the Philippian jailer. He says, and he took them, and that very hour of the night, he washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized. Now, what would we look like? I'm preaching hard, this hard lesson about you becoming a disciple. And I say, well, if you believe, thank you, sister. You come down and confess. I believe with all of my heart, Jesus Christ. Well, thank you, sister. That's so wonderful. I'm glad you made that noble confession. Now, when you want to be baptized? We baptize it next month, 5 weeks from now.
Amen.
There's no Bible for that.
Amen.
That's erroneous teaching. When we're talking about becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord have mercy. One more. And this is just to help somebody. Because see, some folks, see, the scripture, if your baptism is not right, you need to get it right.
Amen.
See, and some people, well, Gary, I understand everything, but I've been baptized before. Well, if it's based on erroneous teaching, if it's based on ignorant, all of us are ignorant. If you haven't done it God's way, then don't you want to get it right?
Amen.
We even have an example in the Bible, Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Listen, after it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus, and found some disciples. You got to know, see, we're talking about being a disciple of Christ.
Now, there are some disciples, but they're not disciples of Jesus Christ. He said he found some disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we've not even heard where there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. They were disciples of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says here, he says, I'm not the one, I'm the forerunner. I'm trying to point you to Christ. You might be baptized into me, but in order to be a disciple of Christ, you need to do it Christ's way.
Amen.
And notice what the scriptures would say. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him. That is in Jesus. When they heard, notice this, when they heard this, when they heard the right preaching, they were baptized.
Amen.
In the name. And that's why anybody that comes from another faith, we know that, see, some of us, we trying to convince folk that you can't be saved. Y'all got the wrong preacher. You're not worshiping God's way, and you're not doing things God's way, and you're not going to be saved. All you have to do is teach folk the gospel.
Yes. Amen.
Because most denominations, primarily all of them, do not teach the scriptural way that a person is to become a disciple.
Right.
And if you distinguish that alone, they would understand that I need to get this right.
Amen.
I need to do this God's way.
Amen.
And when they understood it, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They were rebaptized.
Amen.
Because they didn't do it right. Now, maybe that's someone here today. Because see, God got to, I mean, the scriptures say we're the light of the world.
Amen.
We're the salt of the earth.
Amen.
And you know, it gives you a lot of confidence to know that you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, which is able to save our souls.
Amen.
And when we stand before the Lord, it won't be on anybody. It won't be. We won't have an excuse.
Amen.
And this is something you don't want to. You don't want to be in error teaching anybody.
Amen.
Not arrogantly. Not. We don't think we're better than anybody else. You know, we just study God's word and come to a clear understanding. And you know what? I just want to do what God told me to do.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Notice this. Now, once we become a disciple, now we haven't arrived yet. And I know some of us, we want to, okay, you need to tell them about this, and you need to tell them. No, they need to become a disciple first.
Amen.
Because once you become a disciple, you can be, it don't matter if you work 1 hour or you've been in the church for 50 years, you go to the same heaven. Amen, somebody. We have some of us don't do what we know to do.
Amen.
And the more you know, the more you're responsible for doing. Amen, somebody.
Right.
And so there's somebody here today. We simply want you to first become committed to being a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we want you to do it God's way and be baptized into Jesus Christ, God. And yes, that we all have much growing to do. We have much. There's some things that I still don't have a full understanding of what God is trying. I don't have a full understanding because I don't. My little brain, my little pea brain, can't handle everything. I need somebody to help me along the way.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
But you're here today and you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ. And you want to do it God's way. It's the same invitation we extend every Lord's Day.
Amen.
You must hear God's word as they heard it. You must believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must be willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. You must confess Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 2 and 10, Matthew 10, 32. You must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Where you get all that from, Bergier? I got it from right out of God's word.
Amen.
And it alone. And you can be baptized and God will add you to his church.
Amen.
To the one body you can read about. And we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God and some other things. All this month we want to focus on us being disciples and what God would have. We're going to get into relationships and practical living of what we ought to do. But we got to get first. We got to do first things first.
Amen,
amen, somebody.
Amen.
Come to Jesus today if you want to be baptized. If you want to have you want this church to pray for you, we'll pray for you. You want to get something right, won't you come as we stand and sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? You washed in the blood of the Lamb, or are you fully trusting in his grace? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb, or are you washed in the blood,
in the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?